to Hype episode 81. It's 2016. Selena's not here. The monkeys are out of the cage. It's so happening. I'm Marima. I'm joined by my two fellow monkeys, Pam and Kyle. What's up, guys?
Oh, yeah. Huh?
Hey, that's better than I could do.
How do you say Happy New Year in, like, monkey voice?
I don't know. I thought you were going to ask me how do you say Happy New Year in Spanish.
Oh, well, that too. Talking. Yeah, tell us that.
Feliz Año Nuevo.
Oh, see, man, nice. Hype is so educational. This is great.
There you go.
Okay.
That's what I'm here for.
Great. So Selena's on holiday, so there's a little bit of a hostile takeover happening. We have got our regular kind of news show for you after last week. We kind of took a week off and just chilled and talked about some stuff from the year. But there's actually no real news, but that's fine. Don't worry. We've got it organized. We're going to do some fun things. We're going to tell you guys our New Year's fandom resolutions because, you know, it's 2016 and why not make plans that we're never going to keep. We are going to talk about the Sherlock special that aired over the New Year. We'll get to that a little bit later. And, you know, we've scrounged up a little bit of news. We'll see how we go. We're going to talk about some other fun things. But before all of that, it's time for How We Hype, as always. Like I said, we're going to talk about some resolutions. I did not think of any in advance, so I'm going to go last, but I will tell you something fun that I did in the past week, which was I saw The Good Dinosaur. I think we were talking about on our like year wrap-up show that none of us had seen it yet. I don't know if any of you have seen it since then.
Not
I'm
yet,
mainly
no.
thinking of Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, no,
actually.
You did see it. You did.
Yeah, or like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Did I say this to you guys? I can't remember. My audio was like shit, so I apologize.
Right.
But it's like, in comparison to Inside Out was like ugly crying, and this was just like gentle sobbing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's Pixar, so you always no, you're going to shed a tear. But yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. Did you like it?
I didn't like it. I'm a huge Pixar fan, and I was really surprised, actually, but the film that I could compare it closest to is Cars, so that's not
oh,
a great
that's sad, huh?
Pam's like, oh, that's mean.
Wow, okay.
Just in the way of, like, you know, it's the animals talking versus, like, the cars talking and trying to make them sort of humanized, and you're like, okay, like, cool, but there just wasn't really a lot of plot there. You know, I would equate it to Cars in the same way that when I was watching it, I could tell that there were some kids in the theater, and they were really enjoying it. Like, they were having a good time. But it seemed to be lacking that layer that most Pixar films have where as an adult you can really enjoy it on like a different level, you know, where you're like, oh, I'm laughing at things that the kids don't understand, and like that's fine. I didn't really get that from this movie, so there were a couple bits where I was like, oh, that's cute, or, oh, that's funny. But there's also like this scene in it where they all get really high on hallucinogens.
Oh my gosh, yes.
What?
Like, be aware of that if you're taking your children to see The Good Dinosaur. Yeah, they all just start hallucinating. They get like, it's a psychedelic drug scene.
They pulled a Dumbo.
It was just the weirdest thing. Yeah. I was like, what? Anyway, so yeah, I don't know.
My favorite part of that whole movie though was like right at the beginning when he's like guarding the place where they keep the food and he's like, get out of here, bug. And I don't know, it just made me laugh because like I feel like my brother and my dog emulate these two characters so much because it's like mutual respect, and then one day they'll grow to love each other, but they kind of like get on each other's nerves.
Oh, nice.
So, I was watching with my brother. I was like, I feel like this is you and Jasper right now. And he's like, yeah, I know. He's like, we're trying to aim towards mutual respect, but we'll see how that works out in the film before I pass judgment.
That's hilarious. You know what I did really like? The short before The Good Dinosaur was great. That was fantastic.
Oh, see, I didn't see that because I saw a screener.
Oh, it's so annoying.
So it doesn't have, they should put those in the beginning of the screeners.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't. I have the same complaint when I go to the Pixar screenings. It was Sanjay's something superheroes or something. You know, as the kid, he was, oh god, I'm going to like mess this up. But Kyle, do you know what I'm talking about? I'm going to have to do this.
Yeah. You're talking about like the Indian family.
Sanjay's super team.
Yeah.
He's like based it on his life, and so basically what happens in it is like he's playing with this kind of Captain America type doll, and like his dad's praying, and it's about them kind of like reaching compromise in a traditional Pixar way, and I thought it was really, really good. So, you know, sometimes the short is, it's not a good sign when the short's better than the film.
Yeah.
But then again, I thought that Feast was like the best Pixar movie ever made.
Oh my gosh.
It went for like 2 minutes. So.
Feast was beautiful. I still cry thinking about it.
Yeah.
Clearly I'm the person that cries in theater, so you should never go to the movies with me. But
yeah, yeah. So true. Yeah, so anyway, that's kind of how I felt about The Good Dinosaur. But Pam, what have you been doing? And then maybe do you want to tell us some of your fandom resolutions for the year? I'm trying to get inspiration if you hadn't noticed.
Sure. Yeah, totally. So I have still been watching Gossip Girl. It's a problem, you guys, but I have only nine episodes left until there's no more Gossip Girl forever, so I'll be live tweeting that on Twitter. I'm sorry for everybody that hates me, but I'm also not sorry because, you know, it's going to be a magical journey.
Although
and other than that, other than that, I took a little break from Gossip Girl, and I decided to watch Show Me a Hero because Oscar Isaac is in it, and that sounded like something I needed in my life. So it's HBO's new miniseries, and it's actually based on a true story. It's about a guy who kind of rises up in power in the government in Yonkers, New York, and it just kind of goes through what happened over there in the 80s. And yeah, it's pretty good so far. I'm only like one episode in though. But if you're looking for something to watch and like nonfiction stories interest you, or if you like need more Oscar Isaac in your life, which I wouldn't blame you for if you did, you should go check that out. I think there's 6 episodes out on HBO, and I believe it's nominated for a Golden Globe too. So you'll be all up in your award show stuff if you do that. And then for New Year's resolutions, I know this is going to like shock both of you, but I want to listen to more music.
That's like the big one.
What?
I know. I want to listen to more music.
What?
Okay.
I know. I feel like I could do better. I feel like I could do better.
All right, explain yourself. Like, what do you mean?
So I was scrolling through Instagram, as you do in the mornings, when you first wake up, and as I was scrolling with, like, what I opened, I saw this little ad that was like, get your music and analysis from, like, the past year. And so I did, and apparently I only listened to, like, 800 new artists, and I feel like I could do better than that.
The sound you're hearing is just Kyle's nice shock of, like,
yeah.
What?
What?
What do you mean?
Yeah, but it's not just like new up. Well, like it is new up and coming artists, but it's also like I feel like I would like to go back and listen to more like things from different eras in music, because I feel like that is the only way I will be able to accurately review things, you know, on here or on Hypeable or in other places. So that's kind of like my big overall resolution, and then the bigger one is just to catch up on all the shows that I've been lagging on because of things like Gossip Girl. So I need to go back and catch up on The Flash and catch up on Once Upon a Time and do all that good stuff so I can get all my ducks in a row for the new year.
Okay. All right. I like those. Those can work. Kyle, what about you? Have you got any resolutions?
Yes.
Or done anything fun?
Both. I went out and I saw Sisters with a friend of mine. So good. So good. We were cracking up. And one of the things that made it so funny for us is that I was going with this guy that I was seeing, and it was just me and him, and we walk into the theater, and there are only 3 old ladies who all came together. And then we're like, oh, okay, this should be interesting. And then no one else comes in. And so it's just a screening to 2 gay guys and 3 old women, and the women were not laughing at any of the things that we were laughing about, but then they would like gave audible gasps when like an old person got hurt in the movie, or I don't remember what it was that that happened, but it was something that we didn't find worrying at all, and they were like, oh dear, and I don't know, that just made the experience even better.
Do you think they like went into the wrong screening? Or
I don't know.
Like, what
I don't,
were they doing then?
I have no idea. It was, but they were laughing at it. Like
anyone can be a fan. It seems odd.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no. But they're definitely they were laughing at like a lot of the parts or like some of the parts. But I just remember there was one instance, and I don't want to like spoil anything. Because all the jokes, I feel like, in comedies are almost spoilers. Like, if you tell someone a joke in a comedy, like, then they won't find it funny. But there's a thing that happened, and we were cracking up, and they were, like, dead silent. I was like, okay, all right, then.
No, I see.
It was great. As for New Year's resolutions, I'm sure that you're going to be happy with this, Marima. I want to read more. I've, like, totally put down reading, and, like, I haven't read a new book in months. Months. And so, I keep starting things, but I want to finish more books. So, I know a lot of people have goals of, like, getting to, like, 50 books a year or, like, 100 books a year. But my goal, literally, is just 5 books. Like, that's all I want to do is read 5 books. And because I'm so freaking busy with 3 jobs. So, hopefully, I'll be able to get some done.
I feel like you could aim higher than 5. Like, what about 1 book a month?
Okay, that's possible.
Plausible. What about, like, 1 book a month, but a free month? So 11 books this year, because you're already into January.
Okay.
So you can start from February.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good goal.
I feel like it's good to aim a little higher. You know, see what you get. I like those lists that people do where they just say, yeah, like, it's not about reading certain books, it's just reading, like, a certain number of books. I feel like that's good, because then it's kind of free to do what you want.
Exactly, and I can read autobiographies or biographies or fiction novels. Like, I can read whatever I want. Yeah. So I will update you with that, and I want you to bug me about it. Be like, hey, so have you picked a book for this month?
Oh my god, yes. This is like my dream come true. Okay. Like, harass Kyle about reading? Yes, I accept that. Okay, well, neither of you have been very helpful for me. Usually this is the time of year where I say, like, I'm going to read, finally finish A Song of Ice and Fire. But, like, as we'll talk about, if George R. R. Martin isn't going to finish it, I don't see why I should have to. So I don't know. I think, you know what? I'm going to go the opposite of both of you. I think actually my resolution is going to be to cut down on things, and I especially cut down on TV shows that I'm not really into, because I do this thing where I kind of watch episodes here and there, and then I kind of get behind, and I find that I get behind in shows that I, like, genuinely really like, just because I feel stressed that I have too much other TV to watch. But then the other shows I don't even like that much. So I'm gonna focus on, you know, making sure I really am into the show, I really like the show, and then just stick to, like, I don't know, what's a reasonable amount of TV shows? Kyle's gonna say, like, 25.
No, like 15.
What? Oh, no, I was going to say, like, 5 to 10. Is that, there's, you know, I mean, each season, because, like, right now, I haven't seen The Flash in, like, months. I haven't seen Arrow in months. I'm trying to catch up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I'm so behind. Like, Agent Carter's going to start, and, you know, all these things are going to start, and I'm going to watch them. But I just can't, because I'm, like, stressed that I haven't watched these other shows. So, yeah, I'm going to cut back on TV and, like, try and focus down on just favorite shows. Because, you know, there's limited time. And you can't waste time with bad TV. So, is that a good one? Does that pass the thing?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm also going to watch that Making a Murderer show.
Everyone's talking about that. Yeah.
It's like the...
Oh, I watched an episode of that, too. But I was, like, apparently it takes more than one episode to get into it. And the first episode didn't really grab me, so I switched over to Show Me a Hero, and I was much more pleased with that.
Oh.
So,
because it's like the TV version of Serial, everyone keeps saying, and I'm like, I love Serial. Should I watch this show?
Right.
I think I'm going to watch it. I like those kind of true crime things.
Mm-hmm.
She says the person who was just like, I'm watching less TV. Okay. that's a good time to move on. So make sure you guys let us know what your fandom resolutions are. We would love to hear them. You can get in touch with us on Twitter. We are at Hyperbole Hype. We are at Hyperbole Hype on Instagram too, but that's less easy to share fandom resolutions. But I mean, you know, feel free. You can do that if you want. You can also email us hype@hyperbole.com. And of course, you can leave us a comment on this podcast post when it goes live on hyperbole.com. We love hearing from you guys. We'll get to some feedback later in the show. But for now, it's time to talk about news as it is this week. And I mentioned George R. R. Martin because we had a little bit of news about him. So, Kyle, why don't you tell us about it?
About George R. R. Martin? Well, then. So he confirmed, basically, that Winds of Winter will not be coming out before the 6th season of Game of Thrones. So it's definitely probably going to spoil even book readers who've like, known everything so far when the TV show has been released. And he says he's really disappointed. He missed two deadlines. He missed a Halloween deadline, and then he missed a Christmas deadline. And he said that no one is more disappointed than he is. And he's, like, just really upset about how he hasn't gotten going and stuff. And, like, I don't know. I have two opinions on this, if that's even, like, possible. I don't know. One is that I totally understand the, like, on the writer's side, like, not being able to meet a deadline, because, like, when you sit down and write, like, having tried to finish my own book for a long time, like, I'm, like, terrible at it. I, like, write a paragraph, and I'm like, nope, can't do this, I'm done. But this is George R.R. Martin, so, like, he's already published several books, and he knows that people are anticipating these, and on a business standpoint, it's just terrible. Like, if he was any other person and he missed these deadlines and Game of Thrones wasn't nearly as popular, he'd be, like, fired. Like, the publisher would, like, be like, all right, well, done, you know? So it's really annoying. So I understand it, but it's really annoying.
You know, I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. I don't really buy writer's block as a thing, you know? I mean, I understand some people, like, whatever, there are other things going on, but just as a thing of, like, oh, I just not feeling inspired, or, like, I can't write, because I do a lot of writing, like, not fiction writing, but, like, nonfiction writing, and you just have to do it, like, you just start doing it, and eventually it gets better, and, like, you redraft it. So I feel like him saying, oh, no one is more disappointed than me, is, like you're saying, it's kind of a cop-out, because it's like, well, if you're that disappointed, why don't you just write the book? Like, write the damn book. You've had a lot of time to work on this. And I feel like he releases these blog posts all the time where he's like, oh, like, I did some writing last week, and, like, I'm going away, and then I'm going to do some more writing. It's like, what? No, like, write every day. Like, this is your job, to write this book, you know? And I totally understand where there are people who are like, well, he doesn't owe you anything, and, you know, you should be grateful that he's writing anything. It's like, well, yes and no, because he's kind of made an agreement with the reader. Like, you're buying into this series in the understanding that he is going to finish it at some point. And I don't know, I just think if you were someone who had started reading these books when they first came out, imagine how, like, devastated you would be to know that you're not going to get the answer of, like, who wins, or, like, who ends up on the Iron Throne. You're not going to get that from the books that you love and have dedicated so much time to. You're going to get it from this TV show that's kind of changed a lot, and changed a lot, like, quite drastically from the books already that we know. You know, I don't know. I feel like,
yeah.
Like, imagine if J.K. Rowling was like, okay, I'm not going to finish Harry Potter, but don't worry, the movies are coming out. It's like, it'll be fine. What? Right? What are you talking about? You know, so, I mean, it's hard because I'm not a huge fan of, like, I don't mind the books, but I haven't finished them because I just never really could get into it. But if you are, like, a huge book fan, I just think this would be so hard to hear, and probably doesn't give you a lot of confidence that, you know, he's going to finish it anytime soon.
Yeah, especially when he says that.
I will say.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, go on. I was just going to say that Rowling also, like, delayed Order of the Phoenix because she had writer's block. So we got it, but also,
oh, yeah,
like, no, very late. So,
right. I mean,
it kind of sucks because, yeah, but it also sucks because everybody's been waiting so long. And, like, and the thing is, too, is, like, she was never behind on the movies. You know, she was always, like, one up on the movies, at least, so.
Yeah, right. And the thing
that's, I think that's the crux of the matter.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And then he also
he's older. He's quite
yeah. And then he says, I'm not going to set another deadline for myself to trip over, because deadlines just stress me out. Like, that's not okay. Like,
right.
Now no one is going to ever know, and it's just really sad.
Yeah, like, you kind of feel like, look, just write the epilogue or something. Yeah. Like, can you write the end of it so that we at least know how it finishes?
Seriously.
Because there's two more books, right? Like,
yeah.
There's meant to be two more.
And
there's another, at least two more. So I just don't, I kind of at the point where I just don't foresee him finishing the series. Like, I genuinely don't see him finishing it, you know? Because I feel like this TV show will come out and then then there's less impetus for him to finish.
Yeah.
It's like, well, everyone already knows what happens, so
exactly.
Sort of what's the point then? I don't know. It's a tricky thing. I would love to hear from people if they are big fans of the books, because I wonder how, like, really big book fans are feeling about this news, and you know, like the TV show kind of spoiling them and maybe not getting an ending to the book series. Oh, that would be really tough if this was your favorite. But anyway, all right, let's move on a little bit to movie news now. We got our very first look. This was right before the end of the year, at Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. Of course, we knew that he was going to be playing this character. We didn't know that he was playing it plus goatee, which we do now. He was on the front of Entertainment Weekly. I mean, okay, I know that the point of Doctor Strange is not for me personally to find Benedict Cumberbatch attractive, but I'm just saying the goatee is not helping the situation. So, whatever. Do you guys check this out? What do you think about it?
I think he looks amazing, and I think the goatee is attractive as all heck. So, I don't know, you know what you're talking about.
I didn't even notice the goatee because I was stuck on this sweet medallion that he's got hanging on his chest.
Oh, yeah. Dude's got bling.
Yeah, he does. And so I think that came before the goatee. But now that you guys have mentioned it, I can't unsee it.
I just can't stop staring at it. You know what I think is good about this? He kind of doesn't look like Benedict Cumberbatch, though. I feel like the first thing, often when I see Cumberbatch in things, I immediately think of him versus the role. But when I looked at this, I really thought like, oh, Doctor Strange. So that's a really good sign. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. Oh.
Yeah, definitely. No, because you want, like, especially with somebody like Cumberbatch, not, he's a chameleon, but the problem is that he's kind of become his own fandom. And so you still want to be able to show people that you can do different things. And if he can transform himself like that, like he's kind of like this blank canvas, which is what you want to be when you're an actor or an actress, then that's great. So that's awesome that people have to kind of take a double take, like, oh my God, oh wait, that's him, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's another resolution. I'm trying not to judge things based off like one picture or one, you know, I'm going to wait for at least like a teaser trailer before I make form an opinion on this, but I'm not like super into the Doctor Strange movie in general, but just cause I'm not like that interested in the character. So I'm kind of interested to see where they take this. Cause, you know, a lot of people weren't really interested in Iron Man and, they made that quite successful. So we will find out, this year. I almost said next year, but no, we're in 2016. Year.
Can I just go on like a mini tangent and just like when you're looking at the entertainment when you're looking at the Entertainment Weekly like issue with Benedict Cumberbatch and all that, and like on the bottom right it says 87 exclusive first looks, and it like has all these fandoms like Game of Thrones, Outlanders, etc. And then at the very bottom it says Ryan Reynolds pecs and abs, and I'm like, what?
Oh my God.
What?
That was amazing.
Like, I don't understand. But I felt I had to point that out.
I love that. I really hope it's like, you know, one picture from each of the others and then like 83 pictures just close up of Ryan Reynolds. Yes. That would be fantastic.
So I thought that was really entertaining. I had to point that out.
That's really weird. We might put that picture up on the Twitter account because that's pretty great. Okay, moving over to TV now, but keeping in the Marvel theme, we got some Daredevil Season 2 images. Very exciting for people like me who are obsessed with Daredevil. Although, I have to say, I can't remember that much of it because it seems like it was a long time ago. But anyway, we're getting Daredevil Season 2. They look very kind of, you know, dark and gritty, and, you know, Daredevil was like wannabe, like the Batman version of Marvel. You know, it's violent and it's dark and it's everything's very serious, sort of. So I was very excited because we got a look at Elektra, who we knew is coming in season two, who we kind of heard a little about, but, you know, now we're finally getting to see her. And we also got to see Matt at the Punisher's mercy. Very dramatic. But the picture looks pretty great. So did both of you guys finish Daredevil after like my insistence? I can't remember.
Yes, I loved it. So great.
Yeah. Are you excited for season two?
Oh yeah, I'm super stoked. I'm really excited about Elektra because low-key I was like kind of a big fan of the movie with Jennifer Garner.
What, Kyle? Okay.
As a
out yourself as a fan?
As a kid, I don't know, I really, really loved it, and, like, I made my dad buy me, like, a bunch of, like, Elektra stuff.
What?
Yeah. I'm Kyle. Not... Yeah. I don't know, I just thought the movie was so cool, I was like, oh, she's so cool! And then I quickly grew out of that phase, like, very, very quickly, but... So, yeah, I'm actually low-key stoked about Elektra, because... It's going to be more adult, and I'm more adult, so hopefully I'll actually like it for better reasons than, oh, so cool.
Yeah, well, she looks great, too. And, you know, it's just kind of hard because I'm still really in that Jessica Jones frame of mind at the moment, but I'll get back into Daredevil. Obviously, there's only room for one Marvel Netflix show in my head at one time. I might do a rewatch, I think, because now that we're, like, starting to get some of this stuff, it will be good to have a little reminder. But that's kind of it. Pam, have you got some more TV news for us?
I do indeed. So I think I'm the only one excited about this, but we got the first tiny little teaser of The Walking Dead Season 6B, which is going to come out right around Valentine's Day. Or actually, I think it actually might premiere on Valentine's Day. And if you watched the season finale of last season, which I won't spoil for you just in case you haven't caught up yet, There's some stuff that's going on, and it's a very stressful time to be a Walking Dead fan. And the 30-second teaser kind of reminds you of that. More importantly, it reminds fans that Negan is on his way, who is played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who everybody kind of loves and has seen in other things like Grey's Anatomy and The Watchmen and things like that. And it definitely just sets the tone and reminds you that there's so much left unresolved at the last on the last episode that we saw. And the tail end of season 6 is probably going to be really jam-packed with stuff. So I'm looking forward to that in February. And yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I don't watch it, so... Saws.
That's all right. I think I'm the only one actually on this panel that watches
yep,
it. So
I
will keep you all informed.
As I've said before, like, I just don't understand how a show about, like, oh no, zombies are trying to kill us, how can that be running for 6 seasons? But I mean, power to him. I know it's like a comic and everything, and I'm grossly, like, underrepresenting the story here, but that's kind of what it is in my head.
Well, maybe this next piece of news will be more up your guys' alley. The CW is actually going to air a couple of specials tied into Legends of Tomorrow, which is, of course, going to premiere later on this month. And also, interestingly enough, they're going to do a Justice League special, too, that's kind of tied around the Batman versus Superman movie, which I know Mayor Muslin is excited about because of Wonder Woman!
But yeah.
There you go. I feel like that's your battle cry. Wonder Woman!
Yeah, I just yell her name.
So these episodes, the first one's going to air after the mid-season premiere of The Flash, which is going to be on Tuesday, January 19th, and that's going to be the Legends of Tomorrow special, and it's not really like an episode per se, it's more like of a package that'll kind of show you tiny little teaser clips of what's to come on the new show, and it'll also feature interviews and stuff like that with the cast so you kind of get to know the characters a little bit better, which is really exciting if you've been a little curious about Arthur Darvill's Rip Hunter, because we haven't really seen too much of him aside from his appearance in the teaser trailer. So that'll be kind of fun to tune in if, like, maybe you only want to watch the Justice League and you want to get a little bit of a refresher for who all these people are because you maybe haven't watched Arrow or you haven't watched The Flash or anything like that. I feel like this is going to be good for that. And also for fans that watch both shows, because you'll get a bit of a refresher for who everybody is. And then the next special is, like I said, it's going to be tied to the Batman versus Superman movie, which is very interesting. And I'm assuming that that's going to be very similar to that. If you want more information on either of these, though, you can go over to HiBubble.com and we have little trailers up for each of these little specials that are going to be airing later on this year.
Oh, they sound really cool. And actually, that reminds me, and we totally didn't include it, but there's going to be a Captain America special that they're airing before the Agent Carter season 2 premiere as well. Because it's, I think, the 75th anniversary of Cap, and they're going to be talking about, like, you know, how the character has changed over the years. That's when Agent Carter's back on the 19th of January, so soon. So that's funny that, like, everyone's got their little TV movie, like, tie-in specials happening, trying to make these kind of events. But I'm such a sucker. I'll watch all of them. Because the DC ones sound really good as well. Like, they sound fun. I'll definitely check them out.
I'm definitely not going to be watching any of them because they sound really boring to me. But that's just me. Yeah, I don't know why. I'm just not interested.
You know what? I watch all of these things in the hope that there's some kind of like behind the scenes look versus just being like, okay, here's what's coming up. Because I'm obsessed with behind the scenes things. Like behind the, I watched, and we'll talk about this later, but I did not like the Sherlock special, and yet I watched the behind the scenes making of the Sherlock special. Like, I have a problem.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm not interested in behind the scenes or interviews with actors, really. Like, I never watched the special, like, the extra stuff on the DVDs, and, like...
Oh, my God, Kyle, if it's I watched not, that stuff first.
Like, I never watched any of it, and it's just not something that I'm inherently interested in.
As a child, you didn't sit for, like, 12 hours watching 4 discs of DVD special on the Lord of the Rings DVDs? That's so weird.
No.
That's really weird to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Pam and I will watch them, and we'll report back.
All right. Maybe you can tweet them at me with the new 10,000 character limit.
Hey.
Yeah.
Kyle, what could you be referring to? What 10,000 character limit?
Oh, you haven't heard? Well, Twitter is actually considering a 10,000 character limit for tweets upcoming this year, possibly. The strong word is considering. And so, actually, we have an update. Ooh, we have an update on Hypeable, where Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey has actually confirmed that they are testing a new character limit with a very, very long tweet. So now you're going to be able to basically tweet your heart out whenever you have like a insane opinion. And I have a feeling that Hypeable writer Natalie Fisher is going to take very much use of this, because she likes to tweet a lot. And I remember if you ever, like, get into a conversation with Natalie, she'll send you, like, I don't know, 10 tweets, because she has so much to say. And so for people who have a lot to say, this is extremely helpful. But you don't have to worry, because your Twitter timeline isn't going to look like Facebook. It's not going to look like a bunch of long posts. It'll have the normal 140 character limit and then a read more if you want to, like, expand the tweet. So
no, I hate this.
I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty interesting. I think it's extensive to go to 10,000 characters, but I think we needed more. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe like 200 or 300.
Yeah.
Like maybe double.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe double. Because the thing is, I don't want to have to scroll through my Twitter and like click every time someone says something, which I will if it's someone I'm interested in what they have to say. But like Twitter is meant to be where you can scroll through the timeline. You just kind of scan through it. You know, you pick up what people are saying, or like you see some headlines, file things away for later. There are so many platforms for longer opinions or like longer things. There's Facebook, there's Tumblr. Like, why do we have to change Twitter to that? Why can't Twitter just be Twitter?
I've been thinking about this, you guys, and I think that they should, if they have to implement this, they feel like they have to, they should kind of do what Snapchat does, where you can only replay something once. I feel like you should only be allowed to do this like once a week or twice a month or something.
I think
it's
like once a day.
No, not once a day. That would be way too much. Like once a week, or like that would be like the max, because you're right. Why? It just doesn't make sense for Twitter. Twitter is supposed to be bite-sized information. And obviously people do multiple tweets, but 10,000 words is like so much. Oh no, it's not even words, it's characters.
Right. But that's still a lot.
That's a lot of characters. Yeah. And I feel like for the most part, most of the time, you know, I really only find myself needing like maybe 20 more spaces. But even then, they should think about ways to do this that, you know, don't involve giving you more space to write. Like getting rid of like the count for like URLs, for example, would help this, or for
names.
Your handle.
Yeah. Hashtags.
Stuff like that would be fine. Hashtags. If you're actually like adding to the conversation with those little things, like they shouldn't count against you. And I feel like if they just did that, then they wouldn't have to up the word count.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I totally agree. Maybe they could put a limit, like, you know, only like 2 handles don't count, or you can only put like 3 hashtags or something, because so to stop people going crazy with it. But like links for sure should not count, and like images, like that takes out, I don't know, like 20 characters or something, like that shouldn't count.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things are an easy way, just preserving the like character limit as it is now, but making sure that it's, you know, 140 usable characters. I think that would be fine. Like, why do we have to add everything? If people want to write longer things, like, write longer things, you know? If people want to write in their notes app, like, loaded, fine. No one reads those things anyway, unless they're Adele and they're announcing their new album, which is fine. No? No. Or not?
Yeah, no, I agree. No,
you're right.
You're totally right.
But that goes into the whole, there are certain cases, and in most cases, people, like, most people do not need this.
Right.
It's like, what is it? What's that movie? He's just not that into you. You're the exception, not the rule, or whatever it is. Like, that's the whole thing. It's like, most people are not the exception.
Most people are the rule. You do not need this many
cases. Yeah, exactly. Most people are the rule.
Yeah, I kind of like your plan, though, Pam, because then at least you would have to be like, you'd have to really think, do I really need to say this long thing? If I can only do this once a week, like, is this the thing I want to say it on? And then people would be forced to really, you know, it's like that thing of that people say sometimes, you know, imagine if you had a limit to the amount of times you could tweet a day, and then people would have to really think, like, do people really need to know what kind of sandwich I'm eating right now? You know, like, all of those tweets that you get, and you're like, why did I have to share this? And, like, I totally do it as well. And then I go later, like, you know, I see it on Time Hop or something, and I'm like, why did I tweet that? Like, what a, like, just nothing contribution to the world. So, yeah, I feel like if they're going to do this, there definitely has to be a limit, because otherwise it just becomes every single tweet is, like, you know, three paragraphs. And, like, that's, I'm not on Twitter for that. And I'll have to
be on Twitter. Abuse.
Yeah.
Right. And also.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had my mic muted.
You died.
I'm so sorry. I thought my mic was muted. My bad.
No, Kyle just coughed up a lung. Anyway, just go ahead,
it's
Pam.
Better than the tonsils we're going to cough
right.
up. No, and also, like, you should learn how to use social media if you really feel like you need this, because the beautiful thing about Facebook is that you can actually publish your Facebook posts to Twitter. So just learn how to use that little public feature, and if anybody wants to read the rest of what you have to say, they can just pop over your Facebook account.
Exactly, exactly. I just, you know, I think that there's something really nice about Twitter forcing you to be really concise in what you think, and, you know, I just really appreciate that. I like Twitter a lot more than Facebook for that reason, so seeing it become more like Facebook is not great for me. And as we know, all of these things depend on my personal approval of them. So speaking of personal approval, I think we're done with the news. We weren't kidding when we said there was really nothing to talk about. So we're going to jump right into our TV show of the week. And this time, it was Sherlock, because we all watched the special, because we thought it would be fun to talk about. So if you have not seen it, this would be a really great time to skip forward until you hear us talking about Hot on Hyperball, because we're going to be talking about Sherlock for a little bit now. But otherwise, there will definitely be spoilers, because we've all watched it. So that's your warning. Skip ahead a few minutes, and I'm sure you'll be fine. So first of all, what did we all think about it? Kyle, you literally just finished watching it before we started recording. So what did you think?
I liked it. I was apprehensive at first. We're allowed to spoil things, right? Yeah? No? Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Go
okay.
ahead.
Okay, cool. I was apprehensive.
I literally just did a spoiler warning. All
right, don't cool. listen to me. I never listen to you. Clearly, this is my problem. Sorry. I was totally zoning out. Anyway, I was apprehensive about the first time where it was, like, a dream sequence, and I was like, are you shitting me? Because that's one of my pet peeves of things, is when they do an entire sequence and then it turns out to not matter at all because it was just a dream. And then it started doing this really weird Inception thing where it was like a dream inside of a dream inside of a dream. And it was like, I don't know, I find that way more appealing than having had the entire thing just be Sherlock waking up on the plane. So, the more I got into it, the more I really, really enjoyed it. And, I don't know, it made sense all of a sudden as to why they were doing a Victorian episode, because people were complaining, like, that makes no sense. Like, why the hell would Sherlock do a Victorian episode? It has nothing to do with their canon at all. It makes no sense. And then they made it make sense. So, bravo. I thought it was good. But did you like it?
Okay. No, I thought it was, like, the worst piece of television I've ever seen. But,
oh,
Pam,
no.
You talk first. Before I get to my, like, list of complaints.
That's really funny. Okay, so I, like you, Kyle, I was kind of a little confused as well. Like, I understood the whole, like, let's take you back, but because the flashback started with, like, you know, the accidents and works that we know from the first season of Sherlock, I was a little, like, put off as well. I think I was, like, focusing too much on, like, whether or not this was actually going to matter in the grand scheme of things.
Yep.
To, like, really get into it. And then, like, about 15 minutes in, I actually kind of got into more of, like, the plot and stuff like that. And I think what I liked about it is just being a fan of the Sir Arthur and Conan Doyle books. Like, those are, like, stories that I remember getting read to me when I was younger. I really kind of liked that plunging, you know, or, like, plopping these characters into the era that they're supposed to be in, kind of further magnified, just kind of how much of, like, that rhetoric they took to make the show in the present day. Does that make sense to you guys? I don't know. It just kind of felt like you still had, like, the same characters that we know from BBC Sherlock, but I just loved that they transcended so well, like, no matter what era they were in. So that was kind of cool to see. And, yeah.
No, that totally makes sense. For me personally, I don't know if you guys were spoiled before you watched it, but, like, when I watched it, I did not know that it was going to tie in to the modern day. You know, like, all we heard before the special came out was that they're doing this one-off special and it's going to be set in the Victorian times and blah, blah, blah. And everyone was a bit like, that's weird, you know, that they're just going to be like, oh, now we're going to make Victorian Sherlock as it would have been if we hadn't updated it. But I was like, all right, whatever, that's cool. And I actually really enjoyed the first, like, I don't know, 20 minutes or something when it was all Victorian. You know, like you said, I liked seeing the characters in those times. I'm a huge fan of the original stories. And I kind of thought, in a way, they sort of worked a little better. But then they started, you know, saying things and using phrases that I was like, okay, that's very obviously not, like, from that time, you know? And I was like, something's happening. And then when they did the reveal of, oh no, it's all in his head, and, like, this whole thing is, first of all, no, like, it's so self-indulgent for them to be like, basically this was a TV show made by two people who thought, hey, we kind of regret that we updated Sherlock Holmes because we sort of want to make Sherlock Holmes as it would have been, so let's just do that, and let's just put in literally everything that we want to include. Like, the Moriarty stuff was just so, like, self-referential and just nonsense, you know. All of I will get to the reveal of the episode in a second, because I actually screamed at my television when that happened. But just in terms of I guess the conceit of the episode, like, that's what really frustrated me, was that it just felt like so pointless, and it didn't make sense to me in the canon of the show that they've established. You know, like, by the end of it, he's saying, oh, it's not just that he's on drugs now, like, he was on drugs in the season 3 finale, and, you know, like, he was already on drugs before he got on the thing. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't watched in a while, but to my memory, there was nothing in that episode to imply that he was high at any time, like, when all of that stuff was happening with him shooting and, like, getting on the plane and all of that. So, like, that doesn't make sense, but, I mean, whatever. And just, yeah, just, like, the whole thing. I mean, I love Andrew Scott as Moriarty. I think he's fantastic, but, like, he did not need to be in this episode. Like, he was only in this episode because they wanted to do the Reichenbach Falls. And, like, okay, you made modern Sherlock Holmes. That means you don't get to drop them off a cliff, off waterfalls. Like, that's a choice that you've made. It just felt so, like, just, oh, it makes me so annoyed just thinking about it. I only watched it last night, so it's still, like, in my head. I don't know. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, no, yeah. I totally understand. And I, like, it's funny because I liked it, but I also 100% agree with everything that you said. So it's like, I totally know. I get it.
Right. And I think I probably would have maybe been a little more accepting of that whole premise. Look, I would have just really liked if they had committed to what they were doing, if they had said, okay, you know what, we would really like to see what our characters are like if they were in the Victorian times, and just made a 90-minute special about that and, like, not have it connected. But the connection was so tenuous that for me, you know, it made the rest of it cheap, in a way, because it was all this build up to, oh, Sherlock takes drugs now, and apparently that's serious, even though the show has given us no indication up to this point that, A, like, that's actually a serious problem for him, or, like, B, that this is even a show that can deal with that sort of subject material because it's always so camp and like ridiculous, you know.
You know what's really funny is, did you guys see that Ian McKellen Mr. Holmes movie?
Yes, I love that.
Okay, so the whole idea of him having this crux of like drugs, which ultimately makes him an unreliable narrator from here on out. Like Sherlock is always like a sociopath, but you kind of trust his judgment because you know that he's never really wrong for the most part. But by giving him this condition that he now has, it's like, can you really trust anything that he says? You know, and that kind of just reminded me of that movie, just in the sense that like Ian McKellen is a washed up Sherlock Holmes and he's unreliable because he's just old and he's unable to do what he used to be able to do. And his memory is going and all this stuff. So I'm just kind of wondering like what this means for like the rest of the series. Like, are they just stuck in a rut? They need to give him this thing that, you know, makes him more interesting or like what? That's just, I kind of think that's my overall question for it is like, is there really a reason for him to have to have that?
Yeah,
like it was a good episode, like I enjoyed it, but those are kind of like the lingering questions that kind of stuck in my mind when I turned off the TV. So
right, and I think partly for me it felt a little, and this is definitely totally subjective, colored by my experiences with Doctor Who, but part of it felt like one of Stephen Moffat's Doctor Who finales where he basically just does the same thing. Like he basically just goes, okay, and now we all go back in time and like reset everything, and okay, and someone loses their memory and that's the end, everyone flies away, like, and he uses the same kind of tricks over and over. So this felt like a Sherlock sort of best of, you know. There was like the Mind Palace, which is the thing that they really like, and there was the kind of text on screen and him, you know, having the being like meditating but actually like holding up the pictures in front of him and looking at the headlines and all of that, like all of these techniques that we've seen before. There was, you know, his showdown with Moriarty and all of that, and I just felt like it felt so unoriginal. So it just seemed like such a waste of the premise of being like, okay, what if these characters like were in this time, and it just didn't fit with the characters that we've been given. And I know I've seen interviews where they've said that season four is going to be like much darker and whatever, but that's not the show that they make. Like, it's not a dark show. You never watch Sherlock with the fear that Sherlock is not actually going to get out of it, you know. Like, we never watch it and go, oh no, like maybe this time you just, you know, he's going to solve it and he's going to be like very clever and it's going to be great. So I just don't get it. And then he made feminists into the KKK, like, conspiracy group, and people, I'm sure, will be, like, mad at me, whatever, I don't care. Like, Sherlock as a show has faced criticism primarily and, like, extensively from people who provide, like, a feminist critique of the show. And so the fact that he or they or whoever, like, Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat as the writers, very intentionally, like, chose this group to not only explain like mansplain, oh, like we have to let women vote and like they're hovering at our elbows and we have to lose this fight, but also like dress them up as the KKK and make them like kill something, you know. It was just like, is this what you think feminism is? Like people meeting in dark, you know, churches and like chanting and making ritual sacrifice. It just felt like such an obvious like middle finger to those critics, to the point where when we got there and he started making that speech of like they're always there and they don't get to vote and you can see where it's going, I was like, you have got to be effing kidding me. I like yelled at my television like, no, this, please don't do this, like don't do this. And then I spent from there to the end of the episode just in various states of like, oh, and no, why? I was just, you know, if they hadn't done that, perhaps I would be slightly more forgiving, but that just felt like such an obvious, like, response to critics, because that's not, that didn't need to happen, you know, that's a choice that they made, whatever, and I just felt like that was so unnecessary, and I just feel like they don't know what their show is. Like, I watched the, as I said, I watched the kind of behind-the-scenes thing, and it was really interesting listening to them talk about the show and being like, do you think, like, talking to the female actresses and say, you know, is it interesting for you playing the women, their counterparts in the 19th century compared to, like, the very strong women that they are in the modern Sherlock? And I was like, what strong women? Like, who are you talking about? What show are you watching? Because that is not the show that exists. you know? They're like, oh, and like how he wrote Irene Adler to be a match for Sherlock. No, he didn't. Like, you didn't do that. She fell in love with him, and then he beat her, and then, like, he saved her life, and she was a damsel. Like, what show are you watching? I just, you know, the gap between what they think the show is and, like, what the show actually is to me is, like, astounding and fascinating. But, yeah, this episode of television was, like, just smug and self-indulgent and, like, drowning under the weight of its own meta. You know, they kept being like, hey, remember this from, like, when we did it in the original? No. Like, just stop. I can't even. I don't know. So anyway, so now that I've ruined it for everyone, what did you guys think of, like, the actual, 19th century, like, plot? And the mystery that we got in it. Did you like that
bit? I loved
it.
Yeah, I thought... I always really liked the mysteries in Sherlock. And so I thought it was really, really great. And I particularly loved that his brother was fat as all hell. That was so random and so great. I know that has nothing to do with the mystery, but it kind of has something to do with like how they solved it-ish. But yeah, no. I thought the mystery in it of itself was really great. Up until he started, like, digging in her grave. And I was like, what? But then, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Pam, any more thoughts? Sorry to have, like, rained on everyone's parade.
No. Actually, it's. I'm glad that not all of us liked it, you know, because it really, it just kind of gives more food for thought for anybody that's listening. And like Kyle, actually, I enjoyed it as an episode. I just had some questions at the end that I was about. So I think it kind of like the middle was a lot stronger than the beginning and the ending for me, I think overall. But that's just because I had questions and God only knows when we're going to get the actual season. So it's kind of like, all right. But it's funny because in the beginning when they started going, you know, back and it kind of starts off similarly to when, you know, the first season starts off, I realized, like, how many years have actually passed since this show started. And I was like, man, if I would have known they were going to do this, I would have rewatched, like, the first two episodes at least. Because, I don't know, I kind of felt almost like, wait, should I be making parallels? Like, what's happening here, you know?
So, no, you don't need to. They'll hit you over the head with those. There you don't go. Worry.
That's right. And then I realized it would be fine.
Anyway, I'm just disappointed because I really wanted a Victorian, like I said, I just wanted them to commit and make like a Victorian special and have it be unrelated and just, it would have been really fun. It would have been really great. And instead I got this like just dude mansplaining, anti-feminist, like nonsensical, smug, just crap, and I'm just furious. So we also had a little bit of listener feedback. We asked what you guys thought on Twitter. Angie said her thoughts were mostly like what ? That kind of sounds a little like you, Pam, like with the questions at the end. And then Kelsey said, I went in so wanting to hate it but came out loving it. But it did seem to wrap everything up in a nice little bow. Do we have confirmation of season 4? And we do have confirmation of season 4. They're apparently going to film it later this year, they've been saying. So January 2017, perhaps? I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I don't feel like it tied everything up, though, because it didn't say what to do with Moriarty is.
Yeah.
At all. It did seem to confirm very definitely that, like, he is dead. Yes. Which people were wondering, I know. Yeah.
I think I'm just going to ignore everything that happened in this episode when it comes back and then just pretend, other than the fact that Moriarty is dead, and that's it.
Yeah. I think Sherlock might be one of the shows that I ditch because it makes me too annoyed. Like, I it's so frustrating because I love the first season, but... I love some of the first season. Well, I love the first and the third episodes.
It just dwindles down.
Yeah, I really liked the first episode and the third episode of the first season. We can skip the really racist one. And then after that, I was like, no, it's not as good. So, do you guys have anything else you want to say about this? Otherwise, I think we'll move on before I lose my mind.
No. Not at all.
No?
No.
Okay. So it's time for Hot on Hyperbole. This is where we talk about some stuff that's hot on Hyperbole. I'm going to shout out to two articles that we release every year. They just went online in the past like week or so. And they are the headlines we do and don't want to see in 2016, which they're always fun. And I write one and Andrew writes one. And it's like traditionally the one positive article I write for the year where I'm like, here's some stuff we wish will happen. Yay. And then I get back to critiquing Sherlock. Did you guys know that I totally called like so many stories from last year? Like I had in my article from last year that Sony would get back, like give Spider-Man back to Marvel and that Spider-Man would be in Civil War, and that totally happened. And I said about a Gilmore Girls reboot, and that totally happened. And I had the exact headline of Selena's Star Wars The Force Awakens review. Like, I'm a genius. So I'm just saying, if any of this
are
stuff
you sure happens, you're not, like, are you secretly a time traveler? Is that why you're so upset about Moffat all the time? Because he just gets it so wrong and you're just like, you don't even know.
Well, I don't know if it's secret. Like, I'm from Australia, so I am from the future.
You are from the future.
So, yeah. So I wanted to go through some of these stories and you guys can let me know what you think. So these are some stories that I do want to see in 2016. First one is that Lionsgate execs come to their senses and cancel the Hunger Games theme park. Can we all get on board with that?
Yeah.
That's number one.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But it won't happen. That's the sad
no,
part.
No, I know. But I was like, I have to put this on and just hope that my powers will work their magic. Okay, another one I had was... Suzanne Collins says, it's time to show Phoenix Hunger Games. Now, people were divided on this. Would you guys want to see Phoenix, like a movie? Because she said she's done with the books.
I would love to see a Phoenix movie, but I don't necessarily think it has to be in the arena. Like, I'm more interested in Phoenix's life after he went.
Right. I want a trilogy. Like, the first one would be in the arena, and then the next two would be, like, him, maybe, like... What do you call it? Being like the mentor person whose name I can't remember. And like the victor, and then, you know, he like trains the people and like him getting with Annie or whatever, like, and then, you know, dealing with all that stuff after. I feel like that would be really interesting.
I can get behind that as long as it's not all arena and just arena.
Yeah.
Phoenix has more to offer. So,
yeah. As long as Phoenix shirtless at some point, I mean,
that's Sam all that really matters. Shirtlessness and sugar cube.
Is Sam Claflin doing anything right now? Like, can we sign him?
That's a good question. Let's double check here.
Yeah. All right. I'll run another one by you. The cast child to show in cinemas worldwide and will include midnight screenings. We all want this, right?
Oh, what? You guys, Sam
Claflin.
Sam Claflin is in this Huntsman, the Snow White and the Huntsman sequel.
What?
Yeah. Oh, wow. This just went on to the top of my to-watch list.
Wait, the cast is, like, good, I feel like.
The cast is great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You guys.
Wait, Oscar Isaac
wait, for what?
No, Colin Morgan's in this.
Wait, what?
What?
Wait, hold on. Link me.
Guys. We're doing podcasts.
Okay. Sorry.
What? Podcast.
Oh my gosh.
We'll pick this up later. I just got really excited.
We'll pick this
crazy.
Up
anyway.
All right. But what you're saying is that, I mean, aren't they done on that?
Yeah, it's post production. So, you know, you could totally sign up for this movie.
So he's got some free time.
Exactly.
I feel like it would be totally fine. All right. Let's see what else I've got. A Black Widow movie. Yes. How do we feel about that?
No.
Yes.
Are you serious, Kyle?
No, I'm not. I'm serious at all. I'm totally joking.
Kyle. Time to go to the house and literally murder you as we record this episode.
Well, it's a good thing Kyle just moved.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, good luck finding me.
I would be like standing in his old house. The people living there would be like, hello, who are you?
And he'll be like, it's me.
But yeah. It's me. What's up? Okay, Oscar Isaac confirms Poe is Star Wars' first LGBT hero. I feel like we would like that.
Yes, that'd be great.
Sure. anything Oscar Isaac is.
Right. Pam's like, did you say Oscar Isaac? Because I just chewed that after the, yeah. Okay, what else we've got? A Hamilton movie, like a recording of Hamilton. I feel like that would be really fun. And to finish up, Stephen Moffat leaves Doctor Who. New showrunner confirms the Doctor won't be a white male, which lots of people were like, what? No, what are you talking about? And I was like, haha. Like, I hope. I saw someone on Twitter the other day about Clara's last episode be like, is Stephen Moffat writing episodes this bad because he wants to be fired? Like, is that his way of leaving the show? And I was like, oh, Ben. And then finally, the last article I would like for this year would be J.K. Rowling. Yes, okay, I'm working on Cursed Child and Fantastic Beasts novelizations. Can I get an amen?
Amen to the 10th degree.
Yeah, if only. Do you think she will?
No, but I hope somebody that can do it justice will.
Do you think she would let them?
I hope so. Like, because the thing is that people write novelizations of movies all the time. And though she's not going to do it, I'd rather it be out there. I mean, it's not like they're going to stray away from the plot. And it's going to suck that it's not J.K. Rowling's own words. But if that's the only way we can get it, I'll make peace with it, I guess.
I feel like if she doesn't write it, I don't want it. Because, you know, I think part of Harry Potter is not just the plot and what happens, but it's like her turn of phrase as well.
You know what I'll take, though? I'll take screenplays. Like, because, like, The History Boys, like, before it became a movie and after it was a stage play, they released it as a book, like Alan Bennett did.
Yeah,
I would be
book.
For that. I have it, too.
Of course you do.
Anyway, I would take screenplays. If you do it for charity.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, for what's her charity? Lumos, right?
Yeah, Lumos. Or to benefit multiple sclerosis, like anything like that. It'd be fine. I would buy that. I would drop money on that.
I would for sure drop money on that. Okay, so let's go through some of the articles we don't want to see this year. This is from Andrew. He doesn't want another TV show from Ryan Murphy. Kyle, are you watching American Horror Story?
No, this season.
Queens are like any of these?
No, they all are terrible. So no.
Oh, so you would agree with this? You don't want another TV show from him?
Yeah, I think he needs to stick to American Horror Story. I'm not watching this season because I thought it was terrible, but I'll watch next season.
Isn't Lady Gaga in it now?
Yeah, and
or is that a different show?
She is. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Related to what we were just talking about, Andrew does not want Sherlock Series 4 delayed another year because it already has been delayed. But I don't know. I feel like the special is a good sign that they're kind of reminding people that Sherlock exists. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
This is my favorite one, and I actually think this was written by Jimmy, another one of our writers on Hyperball. Collective Universe wakes up to find that The Force Awakens was just a dream because it was too good to be true. That would be...
cute!
be the worst. Okay, what about this one? I mean, this could happen. Review, Fantastic Beasts is to Harry Potter as The Phantom Menace is to Star Wars.
No!
I mean... What if it is?
Oh, that'd be so bad.
I think I would cry for, like, not a day, but, like, a good couple of days. I would be so upset.
I need to point out that, like, my list had a very positive Fantastic Beasts review on it, which I'm sure will come true. And when I write that review and use the exact same headline, I'm going to be like, oh, my God, I'm so psychic. Okay, here's one that basically already has come true. George R. R. Martin gives up on A Song of Ice and Fire, says, just watch the show. Wow. I mean, I feel like at some point that's going to happen later this year.
Yeah.
All right. And Andrew's last one, J.K. Rowling says, the encyclopedia is off the table. Sorry, everyone. I mean, isn't that already kind of true anyway?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
At this point, I'm just going to be surprised if anything about an encyclopedia even gets mentioned by J.K. Rowling. I'd be like, okay.
I mean, she could make so much money for charity if she just did the thing. But...
Right?
Yeah, it's sad. Anyway. All right. Well, that's it for Hot on Hyperbole. Of course, there's a whole lot more stuff over on Hyperbole. We've got a lot of opinion articles and like reviews and things happening right now because it's kind of slow in news. So there's plenty to read if you head over to hyperbole.com. And now to wrap up the show, we're going to jump to some listener feedback. We have an email from Sneha. You can get in touch with us on email if you want to. We are hype@hyperbole.com. And Kyle, did you want to read that one?
Yeah, she says, I just wanted to say that the Hype episode 80, Bring On 2016, was super awesome. I love the tangents you guys went on and laid back feel of the episode. Also, Selena, you're a Dollhouse fan? Yay! I am as well, but no one I know seems to be. It is such a good show. I wish more people knew about it / watched it. In fact, I may request that Dollhouse be added to the list of shows considered to watch on Rewatchable. After the 12 years it would take to watch Buffy, of course. Anyway, just a thought. Thank you guys for everything, and Happy New Year. You're correct. It is going to take 12 years to finish Buffy.
Yeah.
So after we're done with that, we'll consider Dollhouse. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you did Firefly, right? So you can just work your way through the Whedonverse.
Yeah.
Because are they going to do Angel after Buffy? That'll be like another 5 years.
Oh, yeah. So it's basically going to be a decade.
So in 2 decades, yeah. When I finish with Buffy and Angel, we'll definitely come back to Dollhouse, and it'll be awesome. Okay, we had some comments on our last podcast. Elise said about Sisters, I think we were asking if anyone had seen it. I did. I saw Sisters. It was very good. Not baby mama good, but pretty good. I am a huge Tina / Amy fan. So that's good. Sounds like you are on the same page, Kyle.
Good.
Yep, excellent. I love it. We had a comment from Allison. Pam, do you want to grab that?
Sure. Allison said, quick book recommendation for the new year. For the holidays, I received Red Rising by Bruce Brown, and I just finished it this week and thought it was pretty incredible. I would say it has elements of The Hunger Games and Game of Thrones and just left me turning the pages. I hope some of you pick it up because I need some more people to talk about it with. It's a trilogy, so I'm really looking forward to starting the second one. Looking forward to another year with hype. Smiley face. Aw, thanks, Allison.
Mirma, hey, have you read on your list?
Have you read this, Mirma? Because I've heard a lot of stuff about it.
No, actually. Someone on Hypeable is a really big fan, and I can't remember if it's Michal or Ariana. I think it's one of them. Or like Jen or someone. I don't know. Someone has been talking about it, I think. But no, I have not read it yet. But Kyle, aren't you looking for books to read this year?
I am. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
So it can be one of 11.
Yay.
That just makes me cringe every time I say that out loud. One of 11. Anyway. okay. And we had another comment. Kyle, you want to grab that?
Yeah, absolutely. K88K says, Selena, it would be my pleasure to recognize you as an honorary Canadian. Mirma, oddly enough, I had finally watched The Man of U.N.C.L.E. just before listening to the last episode, and I have to agree, it was pretty fantastic. I really want to watch Man of U.N.C.L.E. really, really bad. Really
Man
bad.
Man of U.N.C.L.E. is the greatest movie ever made. I actually just bought it on DVD. I was talking about it.
Oh, wow.
I saw it, like, I think 4 times in the cinema or something.
Are you
serious? I know, and I never buy... Yeah, I never buy DVDs.
Wow.
And I saw it the other day when I was buying something else, and I was like, I'm going to buy this, and it's going to be awesome. Yeah, I know. So old school, right? Isn't that weird that it's 2016 and, like, buying a DVD is like, wow, so retro. Like, how retro of you? Anyway, I could probably watch it on Netflix, but whatever. I own it now. I can watch it anytime, except I can't watch it on my computer because it doesn't have a DVD drive, so I have to plug it in. Anyway, hard... It's hard life. Okay, and over on Twitter, I've been asking you guys. I kind of took over the Twitter account this week because Selena has been gone. I apologize if you don't like GIFs of Oscar Isaac, but there's been a lot of them. There's been some Gossip Girl jokes. There will probably be more stuff. I don't know. I'm having fun. I've been answering your questions with emojis, so that's cool. But I asked what your favorite TV show of 2015 was in a totally open way that did not at all imply what the answer should be. So with that in mind, Jewel said, Agent Carter, duh. Which, I mean, Jewel, how would you have even thought of that? It's not that I said that was the only correct answer, but that's cool, whatever. Hannah said, Master of None is a close second to Agent Carter. Chanel said, sorry, Kyle, but Sense8 was really bad. It's more confusing than anything. Uh-huh. Jessica Jones really was great. I had to race through the end, too. Do you have a response, Kyle?
Oh, yeah. You're wrong. No, I I get it. It is really confusing, but I think it's just really, really deep. The confusing is really just deepness. You know, you just have to get really into it.
Oh, I see. So it's not confusing. It's just that you don't understand it. Yeah. You haven't thought about it enough.
Yeah, just think about it harder, and then you'll get it.
I see.
Got it.
Okay, and Melissa says her favorite show was Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which, you know, I haven't watched this, but I see the musical skits from it all the time, and they are hilarious. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen them. There's that. Oh my god! Yeah, musical. It's like a musical TV show.
What?
And she has these like little dream sequence things, or I don't know what it is. And she like there's this great one, Settle for Me, where this guy is like, I know you're like into this other guy, but like, why don't you just settle for me? I'm basically as good, even though I'm not as good. And it's so funny.
Oh my goodness!
It's really, really good.
I had no idea it was a musical.
The other one I really like, if people are looking up, is the Sexy Getting Ready song. I think that's what it's called. She sings a song while she's getting ready about, like, all the things she's doing for, like, a hot date. And it's pretty damn funny. And I'm not sure who that actress is, but I really like her. She's great. Have you seen any of them, Pam?
I have seen just the first episode. It's really, really funny. It's Rachel Bloom, who co-created and stars in the series.
Oh, yeah.
But Kyle, you would probably especially like it because the trailer, which you should watch, is this song called West Covina, which of course is a city in California. And she makes this joke how it's like just a half hour on the freeway without traffic or something like that. And it's great.
That's a good song, yeah.
That's okay, yeah. The guy that I'm seeing is currently living in West Covina, and that's all I think about is that song.
Yeah. So you should
should watch the show.
Yeah, I think I'll take a look. Yeah.
Okay, and
she's kind of like a psycho stalker, but it's right. In a funny way.
Yeah, she she moves across the country and like quits her job for this guy who like her high school boyfriend or something, her like college boyfriend.
Oh,
because he said like we should hang out sometime.
Yeah.
And so basically, like,
all right, I'll just be where you are.
Yeah.
So she's the fictional version of the women on The Bachelor who quit their jobs to be on The Bachelor. Got it.
I guess you could say that.
I thought Unreal was the fictional version of
that's true. Yeah.
True as well.
I mean, whatever. Okay, a couple more comments from Twitter. Kyle, did you want to get the one from Shauna?
Yeah, Shauna says, I also love Galavant. Don't worry, Kyle, you're not alone. Stop recommending shows. I already binge-watched Orphan Black, Outlander, Master of None, and Unreal on the list. When do I read? That is exactly my problem, which is why I have a resolution to read. So, I feel it.
Join Kyle's 11 books in 2016, which makes no sense list. That would be great. It's not very catchy, is it? 11 books for 2016. We'll think of something.
Yeah.
Join Kyle's reading challenge.
Yes.
People should. That'd be really fun, actually.
That'd be really, really cool.
And if you guys need book recommendations, you know that's like my secret favorite, not secret hobby. So, just ask me and I'll hit you up with 11 recommendations for you. And do either of you guys watch The 100?
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. So I didn't want to read this if we didn't, because I'm like, I don't really know what this is about. Abby says, starting The 100 specifically because of Selena and the rest of the hype recommendation, wish me luck. Any and they sent us an update on The 100. I was not expecting to cry so much, and I only hate Bellamy sometimes. And then
yay!
I'm pretty sure actually sent me sent us another follow-up. I mean, Abby, you're really like racing through this, because I definitely saw one from you not that long ago. She says,
like,
is it terrible to ship Bellamy and Clark, asking for a friend who's only 7 episodes in? So I thought, isn't Bellamy and Clark the ship that people ship?
Yes and no. That's one of them. It's like one of them.
It's one of the ships.
One of the ships.
Definitely heard of that.
Yeah, it's one of the ships. I also love that she tweeted us, like, and it, like on the doc it says 6 hours ago starting the 100, and then 2 hours ago an update. I was not expecting to cry so much. I was like, oh, wow, you got through quick. And it's not.
This is how I feel about Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
With another show completely.
I'm just really glad that you only hate Bellamy sometimes, because at least there's someone else who hates Bellamy, so I'm not alone.
Can I tell you guys something I learned today about The 100? I thought I mean, I knew that, like, Clark and Bellamy was a thing sort of vaguely, but I, at the same time, thought that Bellamy was, like, a ship name, like, not someone's actual name, you know? I thought that was, like, the combined, and I was like, that's weird that people are, like, shipping this ship with, like, this other person. That's, okay, that, whatever, that's cool.
It's a new thing now.
It's making sense to me that, like, that's a dude, right?
Yeah.
On the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you learn something every day. We've learned some Spanish today. We've learned about the 100.
I'm just, like, really curious as to what names you thought Bellamy was a mix of.
I don't know. I have no idea. But, like, they all have weird names. Bellamy is a weird name anyway.
That's
so, like,
true.
It wouldn't be any weirder than that.
That's true. Very, very true.
You know? I mean, I feel like, yeah, there are definitely weirder ship names and weirder real names, says the person called Marima. So I can say what I want, and it's all fine. Okay, that's it for this episode, I think, unless either of you guys have anything else you want to throw out there, seeing as we've basically just been doing that all show.
No. Oh, I'll throw one thing out, non-fandom related.
Yeah.
If you live near... If you live near Disneyland and you love Fantasmic and all that Disney stuff, as Disney is its own fandom, go to Disneyland before the 10th because Fantasmic and, like, half the park is closing down because of Star Wars Land. So you have 5 days
or
4 days to enjoy Fantasmic and the rest of the park. So
there's some insider scoop.
Insider scoop from the Disneyland cast member.
Yeah. And make sure to check out Pam on Twitter, where she's live tweeting Gossip Girl, which is amazing.
Very slowly, so I don't start losing followers. It's so funny. Like, as soon as I started, I lost, like, 6 people. I was like, you know what? Whatever. Haters gonna hate. It's fine.
You know what? I experienced that same thing because I recently my mom came to me I saw my mom at Christmas and she was like, hey, I want to go see this new Star Wars movie. I was like, cool. So let's go see it then. She's like, yeah, but I haven't seen any of the others. Is that a problem? So I was like, all right, you got to watch the originals at least. So I've been slowly, like, going around and watching them with my parents. And I've been live tweeting them on my account. And, like, I definitely lose followers. But I just don't care.
I don't, yeah. It's
so funny. It's so funny. Like, here's an amazing thing. I watched A New Hope with my mom. And it was hilarious because she doesn't like any of the people. She just kept being like, where are the robots? Like, I want to see the robots, like, meaning the droids again. She was like, the robots don't know what's happening.
I thought she was super into Harrison Ford. Was that your
she
tweet?
She is into Harrison Ford, which is why I was like, why have you never seen Star Wars? It's like, see Harrison Ford. And she was just like, she thinks he's too young in Star Wars or something. She's like, no, I don't. But she's obsessed with Chewie, and she keeps calling Chewie the lion. Like, she refuses to learn his name.
Oh, my gosh.
So then I went, like, around to watch Empire Strikes Back with her, and my dad was like, hey, what are you doing? Like, why are you hanging out without me? I want to watch it, too. And so he watched it. He's never seen the first Star Wars, first of all. My mom couldn't even remember what happened in it. We watched it, like, the week before. So we're watching
this. That's okay, because things really start picking up with
Empire
Strikes Back. That's, like, the best one.
I know, but get this. Like, I'm sitting there, and my dad starts calling Chewie... the chimpanzee. He's like, oh, I like the chimpanzee. I'm like, what are you talking about? My mom's like, you know, the lion who I like.
Oh my
I'm
gosh.
Like, okay, what, like, what what is happening? And then remember that Empire Strikes Back came out in 1980, I believe, so that's 35 years ago. Neither of them were spoiled on the Darth Vader's Luke's father. I'm not.
No way.
No, I'm not.
Where have your parents
been looking?
Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious. The reveal happened, and I was like, and I looked at them, and they were like, oh. And I was like, whoa, 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 what? And paused.
That's amazing.
Paused the film and was like, no, wait. You actually knew that, right? And they were like, no. My mom didn't even believe that it was true. My mom's like, it's not, like, true, though, is it? They're going to reveal
what?
That I was like, no, that's like the whole reveal. How have you never heard this before? And I think someone asked me on Twitter, like, how can they not know that? And I was like, I don't know, because they're old. And my dad, like, creeps on my Twitter sometimes. And he was like, oh, I just want to clarify. It's not because I'm old. Like, I didn't know it when I was younger either. Like, I didn't know it, you know, 35 years ago. But seriously,
what?
They've avoided the spoiler for 35 years. How is that even possible?
You know
it's
what?
Like...
I don't even know if that's amazing.
Wow. It's like a joke. It's like mainstream pop culture knowledge.
I know.
Like, wow.
Yeah, even you knew that before you started watching, didn't you, Kyle?
Yes, I did.
Like, everyone knows that. Isn't that insane? So that's the best thing. Now I want to watch now I got to watch Jedi with them because, you know, they have no idea. My mom keeps being like, she's like, oh, I get Harrison Ford's better, but she doesn't really like Leia and Harrison Ford. So I'm like, oh, what about like Luke and Leia? Like, what do you think about that?
She's like, you're baiting them. She's hardcore. Like,
oh, I don't know.
No.
That's so funny.
I mean, she's going to love the Ewoks, though. You know,
I was going to say, what are you going to do when the Ewoks come in? She's going to be like, the baby lions. And I know. Like, baby chimpanzees.
I mean, Chewie's their favorite. So, like, honestly, everyone complains that the Ewoks are like in, you know, half of Jedi. They're going to be like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. It's just like dudes running around.
Endor, you know, there's a whole like Endor series, right?
Yeah. I don't think I could convince them to watch that. But amazingly, they also haven't been spoiled on. I guess not amazingly, seeing as they weren't spoiled on Darth Vader, but they haven't been spoiled on like the thing that happens in Force Awakens either. So I wanna take her to see it before like she hears about something on the radio or whatever, you know, because I want to see like. That reaction will be hilarious. I'll definitely be watching Return of the Jedi with them, and you can check out my account for live tweets of hilarity from old people who have never seen Star Wars before and refuse to learn anyone's name, and my mom just calls them by like my dad thought that Obi-Wan was Luke's dad for the entire film. Until Darth Vader says, like, I just, it's the funniest thing. And he just calls him the guy in the pajamas. Like, oh my God, my parents. It's amazing. I think I'm adopted.
I always likened the Darth Vader thing to like Dorothy having gone to Oz or like getting traveling in a tornado, like as just fact. Like you know, like you just know it. It's blowing my mind.
Has the ring. Like, everyone knows that. Or, like, Harry and Voldemort. Like, even if you don't know Harry Potter, which, who are you? You still know, like, oh, it's Harry and there's Voldemort. And, like, you know, he doesn't have a nose and that's a thing.
Yeah.
Like, how, I know. How do you not? I just don't understand.
Mind-blowing.
I know. There's some, like, magical spoiler protection going on over there. I mean, It's just crazy. So... yeah, I'm very excited to see the reaction to Jedi. And then they're both into it now. Like, at the end of the first one, my mom was like, oh, I guess I'll watch the next one. I don't understand anything that just happened, but I guess I'll watch it. Now she's like, oh, it's good. Like, let's watch another one. So that's exciting. That's a good sign. But anyway, that was a huge tangent. So I think we'll end the episode. I think we're still recording. So, okay, that's it. Thank you guys so much. We'll be back next week with another news episode. Hopefully there'll be a little more news, but we hope you enjoyed this kind of more relaxed, chilled out show. Make sure to let us know what you thought about Sherlock, if you've seen it, and to tell us your fandom resolutions, because we'll read some of those on next week's episode, and it'll be a fun time all around. So until then, I'm Marima.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Pamela.
Ah, dang it.
Ooh.
Oh,
sorry. And it's the ghost.
That's the ghost. Kyle's injured himself. That's it. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
What did you do?